Hello everyone, it's nice to have you back on this channel and thank you for waiting expectantly. To all those who gave their feedback on Facebook, WhatsApp, Twitter and Instagram and even face to face, I say a big thank you. You've all been awesome. Please keep the feedbacks coming in. I would also appreciate your criticism. And please note that if you want to advertise your products and services here, you can send me a private message on any of my social handles. So, let's start the story and find out who the man was. That's the man Adriel's mom was trying to save and how that day ended. I have been moving about the past few days in a daze. Some very strange things have just happened, or should I say, unbelievable things, and my mind has been having a hard time processing and accepting them. I was walking about like a zombie through the streets as I left the office I had gone to in search of a job. I think my dazed look must have affected them, because even though I answered the questions I was asked, they gave me a perturbed look and asked me to go and await a response from them. It was more like driving me away. I bumped into someone and he shouted at me, asking if I was blind. I mumbled an apology and picked up my file that had dropped on the ground when I bumped into the person. I gave my head a mental shake to clear it of the dazed feelings I had and made a more conscious effort to be aware of where I was headed. The interview had been at Ujolegba, but I was so into myself I never knew when I had trekked to Lawanson. Oh well, the money I should have used as bus fare would serve another purpose, I thought. I headed towards where I could take a bus home. I live in Ijeshatedu, a place in Lagos State. The bus was empty when I entered it, so I moved to the seat close to the window and got entrapped in my thoughts again. Aha, the man, the one who had almost gotten killed. He was responsible for my troubled thoughts and dazed look, and if that company doesn't call me, I would say he would be responsible for my losing the job opportunity. Now, let me take you back to that fateful, dry, sultry day in June. Mom had screamed, "If anybody wants to die, let him come and touch this man." She looked wild as she stood beside the man, guarding him. The mob paused, staring at him. Then someone shouted, asking her, "Mama Fuma, who is he to you?" It was one of her neighbors, a man we called Uncle Josiah. Mom didn't respond. She kept looking here and there to make sure no one would come from another angle to attack her or the man. "Madam, is he your husband?" the bellyman shouted. He had managed to get himself up from where he landed when Mom pushed him. "Yes," Mom screamed with all her might. My mouth couldn't open any wider. "Father." He was back and he was lying there on the ground. What was he doing here? And how did he find us? "So you're married to a thief?" someone from the mob bellowed. "Did he steal your money?" Mom retorted. Another person spoke, explaining to Mom what had occurred. Another voice joined in to throw more light to the story. Different voices from different angles, and all I could do was stare at the figure on the ground, wishing he wasn't the person Mom just claimed him to be. My rolling stone of a father. Certain segments of my life raced before my eyes like a film put on fast forward. The bitter, the ugly, the fear and insecurities. Those memories I thought were dead and gone came flooding in. I guess I never actually killed them. I must have put them away somewhere they wouldn't be able to hurt me anymore. Someone once said, "You can't run away from your problems. They will only come back to hunt you." Well, this one just caught up with me and he was getting on his feet right now. The sight of my mother guarding him with the cutlass seemed to have given him some strength to get up. But as he tried to get up, he stumbled and landed back on the ground. "Whose money did he steal?" Mom was asking. "Let that person come out. Why are you people swallowing paracetamol for someone else's headache? And who made you God to want to end another person's life? Who amongst you hasn't stolen before? Some of you, even your wife's money. Did anyone kill you for it?" She kept throwing one question after another at them, all the time scraping the ground with a cutlass, which produced a sharp noise that irritated the ears. As she did this, she moved to her right, then to her left, moving as if she was about to duel with someone. The men were taken aback. These men, who were ready to kill a man, were not afraid of a woman with a cutlass. I guess the cutlass and her weird movements got them confused. Just then, some police officers appeared. One of them carefully approached Mom and asked her to calm down. He reassured her that no one would touch her husband as long as he was around. "I wonder where they were all this time." She listened and gradually calmed down. He asked for the person whose money had been stolen to come out. Someone called out to her and went in search of the woman. Meanwhile, the officer explained how unlawful it was to kill someone in such a mob action. Someone besides me in the crowd said how crazy women like Mom could be when they had something to protect. "Even if it's a husband who has abandoned them for years, they will fight for him," another person replied and laughed. I turned towards the direction of the voice and gave the person a sharp look. He shut his mouth and stylishly looked away. "Who he is? I do not know. How he knows that Mom had been abandoned by her father is a mystery to me. But that was not important now. The important thing was the drama still being acted out in real time in front of me. One part of me wanted to move towards Mom to give her some support. The other part screamed, "No, stay back," because of the man at the center of it all. The man she was right now saving. The owner of the money finally came forward. It was obvious she didn't want to. I wouldn't blame her. She had had a confrontation with Mom in the past and had lost. She definitely had reason to be scared. But there was more to her fear. When the policeman asked her how and when her money had been stolen, she stuttered an unclear response. "Can't you talk? When did you become a stammerer?" Mom backed at her and took a step towards her. The officer held Mom back and the woman took a step backwards in fear. He addressed the woman again and sternly warned her she could get arrested if she didn't speak up. I couldn't find my money and this man was there, so I assumed he took it, but later I found it with my baby." "Oh Lord, so he's actually innocent." Shouts of shock could be heard from the crowd. The burly man who had taken it upon himself to strike the match looked deflated. He spoke up in annoyance. "So madam, you would have made me kill an innocent man like that?" he asked foolishly. "Even if he was guilty, who gave you the right to kill him?" someone asked. I realized I was a someone when eyes turned to look at me. As much as I wasn't happy to see my father, no one deserved such a cruel death without proper trial. I knew this, and that is why I spoke up. I think I should have controlled my tongue, though, for Mom and my father became aware of the fact that I was there. His eyes lit up upon seeing me, and a small smile grew on his lips. I turned and started to walk away. "Ejiro," Mom called. I stopped. "Help your father up." I turned to look at her with a glare that communicated all the pain I felt, but she quickly looked away, focusing her attention on the woman. Out of respect for her, I walked back slowly and reluctantly. Someone had given him a cloth to cover the wound on his hand. The person was helping him apply pressure to it in order to stop the bleeding. Both of us tried to help him get up. We led him to a bench nearby. The woman was begging Mom to forgive her. She said she had asked the mob to kill him. She had only screamed out, "Thief!" and then one thing led to another. In the end, Mom had to let it go. It turned out the burly man knew one of the policemen and he was also a regular client of the woman who had claimed to have lost her money. They pleaded and promised to get Dad treated. They compensated more by buying food items and groceries for us. Now, we had food at home. At least one good thing came out of the ugly situation. But another nightmare had begun. Father was back. A noise behind me made me realize I was still in the bus and it wasn't filling up fast. Two women had stepped in and they were busy discussing the events of the day. Two other persons boarded the bus and went behind to sit. The bus was gradually filling up, and so the other passengers asked the driver to move as they were tired of sitting down endlessly. As the bus moved, the conductor kept calling out for passengers in order to fill it up. At a particular point, an elderly man stopped the bus and entered. He was sitting at the front row and he was also sitting at the edge of the seat and quite uncomfortably. And one of the women who had entered earlier on was moved with compassion to say, "Sir, why don't you go to the back to sit so you can relax well?" The man looked at her and said, "This is not my bedroom where I can relax. This is a bus. When I get home, I will relax." I burst into laughter, and so did other persons in the bus. Isn't it weird that someone showing respect and compassion to an elderly person is made to feel foolish? The woman apologized for trying to be nice and continued the discussion she was having with her friend. The incident was a sort of comic relief for me, and I was feeling a bit happy as I alighted from the bus. When I got to my stop, I walked the rest of the way home smiling to myself, but my smile froze as I turned the corner to my house. Before me was a crowd of neighbors gathered and trying to separate two men fighting. Behold, this was my father and my brother. What was it this time? And when did Mudiaga return? And why are they fighting? So that's it, friends. Thank you so much for listening. We're going to stop here for today. But some questions have just been raised. Where has Mudiaga been all this time? And why was he fighting with his father? And yes, why did Ejiro always feel bad when something about her father came up? More questions than it answers. We're going to get the answers as we progress in our story. Thank you for following up with this story. Please tune in next week as we're going to continue on life's journey with Ejiro. I remain Patience Agidife. See you next week.